solar panels work in winter. Solar energy output in Australia throughout winter is surprisingly high in some cities. You can learn more about better solar energy at B-Solar. Visit B.Solar to learn more. GLG Greenlife Group, leaders in property services and open space management at glgcorp.com. Welcome to the First Serve, your home of tennis.
Good evening, everybody. Following Easter Monday football, we're on a little bit earlier tonight. What a cracker at the MCG, particularly if you're a Hawthorn fan. We talk a bit of tennis, as we do, right across the SCN network on a Monday night. So a warm welcome on this Monday, the 18th of April. Your calls right throughout the show, as always, 1300 736 736, or your text tonight, 0433 98 11 16, all thanks to our very good friends at Tennis Direct, Australia's favourite online tennis store. They've got fast delivery, magnificent prices, free delivery on orders over $150. You can shop with them tonight while you're listening in. TennisDirect.com.au. Get that nice little discount, promo code FIRSTSERVE10. Punch that in, and they will certainly look after you. Brett Phillips on this side of the desk on the B-Solar menu tonight. All the latest from the past week in magnificent Monte Carlo in particular. Lots of other talking points bubbling around in the world of tennis. And to help me pull all that apart tonight is award-winning tennis and sports journalist. Great to have him back on the show, Courtney Walsh. Walshy?
Absolute pleasure to be here. It's been great to see all the international action since we've joined the clay circuit. It's it's great to see back on dirt and some of those epic matches in Monte Carlo through the week, and to see the new world number one on the women's side dominant.
Dominant.
What's to love?
Absolutely dominant. Iga Świątek is going about as well as the Melbourne Footy Club at the moment.
In that rare patch of form where she just looks unbeatable, and not just unbeatable in terms of matches. She's barely dropping a game on the court. It's I think it's an astonishing streak, about 19 straight wins. I think she's pulled together, so really stamping herself as the new champion of the sport.
No doubt. So watchable, Iga Świątek, and she's going to be staying around the pointy end for a little while. 1-300-736-736. Now, Walshy, I don't know if you've been on the show with me when my very good friend Harry from Belmore up in New South Wales gives us a call. Harry, it's always a delight to have you on our show.
Hello, Brett. How are you?
I am going superbly. I've had a great Easter Monday, ready and waiting to take your call, because you normally rewind the tape a little bit, H.
A bit of history. Pat Cash must thank Peter Doohan, who passed away last year, for his Wimbledon win. Peter Doohan, with his chip charge, he was very good at that. He used to stand inside the baseline, beat Boris Becker in the first round. Pat Cash had never beaten Becker as a junior or as a senior. Pat, the juniors came here in the early 80s. Henry LeConte, Willander, Joachim Nystrom, and all of them came. And Wally Masur and Pat Cash were our top juniors, and they couldn't hold a candle to all the others.
Fantastic, Harry. Well, she, you can chip in here because you can have a little talk to H.
Yeah, hi, Harry. Look, I had the pleasure of having some contact via text message with Peter Doohan, in the latter stages of his life. Tragically passed away far too early.
That's right,
Far too early. But, and then seeing the outpouring of emotion from his family, but also from people like Boris Becker, who, after he died, I think it's a couple of years now,
a couple of years,
And Boris...
When Peter won, they found him the best hotel room in London. And when Peter lost in the third round to Big Bobo, Zivinovich, I think his name was, they flew Peter home first class. Boris Becker, the night he lost, went to a restaurant. Nobody had sit with him, but he saw some, I think Mark Kratzman was one, and they asked him to sit with them.
There you go. A fabulous couple of names there. Former number one junior in the world, Mark Kratzman. Bobo Zivinovich had the cannon of a serve. Great old memories. And Peter played, I think it was the maybe the Prince Magnesium or the aluminium. I can't remember quite what he had, but it was a tremendous old player.
Good on you, Harry. Thank you very much. You're a star.
Okay. Thanks, mate.
You're an absolute star. Call in next week. We always love a bit of Harry on our show. He always takes us back. And we'll have a bit on Boris Becker a little bit later on. It is just a sad state of affairs. We touched on it last week, but yeah, we'll see where that goes in the next fortnight. But we're going to start with Monte Carlo Walshy tonight. It is just a spectacular setting. The crowds are back this year. Prince Albert there, of course, up on the trophy dais. But it's a week that belonged to Stefanos Tsitsipas.
It's just wide, and it is mission accomplished in Monte Carlo for Stefanos Tsitsipas. It's back-to-back titles for the young Greek, and he has produced some tremendous tennis this week. His opponent gave it everything. He's thrilled us over the last few days, but Tsitsipas just too good, once again reminding us how good he is on the European clay.
Finaliste du Rolex Monte Carlo Masters 2022, et c'était sa première finale, Alejandro Davidovich Fokina. Du Rolex Monte Carlo Masters 2022, il obtient son deuxième titre en principauté. C'était le tenant du titre, il est grec, Stefanos Tsitsipas. Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, tout d'abord.
In my first speech, then, you know, first of all, congrats to Stefano. He played better than me today. He has a great team and he's doing very good. You know, I want soon the revenge and, you know, we will see it together many times and for sure a lot of battles. I hope so. My team, what to say? Thank you to coming this week, pushing myself every day since when I was a kid. This is a dream come true. You know, we were fighting for all these moments. Be here today with all of you guys, it's amazing. And for sure, I hope it will be a lot of times more. And who is at home watching me and supporting me, thank you. You know, when I was a kid, I was watching at the TV all the finals. I was thinking to come play here one day in the final. And, you know, I make it and I hope to be next year here. You know, thank you guys for the support. Thank you.
Stefanos.
Alejandro, first but not last, I'm pretty sure about it. I would like to tell you congratulations. I remember myself making my first Masters 1000 final and can completely understand how special that is. You're someone that is making me better. I hope I'm the same. I don't know if we played juniors. I think we played juniors together.
In Bonfili.
I completely forgot.
Yeah, you beat me 6-1-6-0.
Really? That's probably why. No, I'm kidding. We've come a long way. I remember your team. I remember every single one of them. And I would like to congratulate you on your hard work. Keep working hard. You know, this sport doesn't come without sacrifices and putting in the work. So congrats to you. Congrats to your team. Congrats to everyone that surrounds you and makes you the human being that you are. This place holds a special place in my heart. For those that don't know, this is my first event I ever attended as a six-year-old child. Not in a million years I would have thought that I would be in the position I am today. It is remarkable, and I'd like to thank my team for working towards not just my dreams, but our dreams together as a unit, as a team, we like to call each other, for putting the belief, for putting in the hard work, you know. Nothing comes without the hard work.
Nothing comes without the hard work. That is a very true statement. Just before we pull this apart a little more, if you call, you get on this program anytime. 1-300-736-736. More on Tsitsipas. More on Davidovich Fokina. I've been saying that so many times. I just don't want to call it on radio, but I like the cut of his jib. But Chris in Derriman has given us a call. Chris, great to have you on the show.
Hello, Brett.
How are you, mate? You well?
Yeah, not too bad, buddy. Not too bad, mate. Love your show each week.
Good on you. Thank you.
Just, I've got my two daughters. They've been involved in the game for about, 7-8 years or so. And apart from playing their local competition, we go to a lot of tournaments like any other parents.
Yep.
Today, we just got back from the Shepton tournament. We've been going there for about the last 7-8 years. Mate, absolutely ripping tournaments. Well organised, well run. Just let you know, this is their 98th year. They're planning a big tournament in their 100th year in, 2024.
Fantastic.
And there was a scare of rain today. It was drizzling, so they got all the games on fairly early in the morning, and they got through majority of games, all the finals through. But just apart from that, you go there in the morning and there's egg and bacon rolls going. And then the canteen will start up. And then you've got the barbie starts up at 5 o'clock. And Saturday nights, they just have some bloke singing there.
Right. And, sounds like country week.
Yeah, serving competitions.
While she's getting excited, he's salivating here, Chris, because you love, I mean, you're up at Country Week. I was there. Oh, yeah. This is a huge tournament. Yarrawonga. There's some great grass court facilities around Victoria.
Oh, look, absolutely. And look, I've played the Shepparton Easter tournament as a junior and then in the Open, two or three occasions. And really a beautiful club. The courts are fantastic. You're right on the Goulburn River. You have, not too far from the centre of town. So it's, in terms of location, it's ideal. I'm looking forward to getting back there, I think, next February. Yeah. Country Week will be in Shepparton. And then
we'll
also Shepparton and Maroopna. They'll use some of the courts out there and also the Oval. So, look, outstanding club, the Shepparton Lawn Tennis Club. You know, really strong sort of players have come through that region, the Goulburn.
Yep.
And I'm not surprised you had a great time up there, Chris.
Good on you,
Chris. Excellent job.
Mate, really appreciate your call. You're a regular texter into our program, keeping us abreast of things that are happening out there at the coalface of the game. So really appreciate that. But we're breaking down the winners thanks to AATC, Australasian Academy of Tennis Coaches, providing quality coach education right across the globe. So they've got courses delivered by industry leaders, tennis business owners. You can learn locally, coach globally, internationally endorsed. So if you want to inquire and enrol, head to AATC.tennis. So Tsitsipas beats Davidovic Fokina, who beat Djokovic. We'll hear from Novak very soon. Big rise for the Spaniard. We've been talking about Carlos Alcaraz singing his praises, while she rightly so, for a number of weeks. Davidovic Fokina's gone on a bit of a different journey. He's 4 years older, the different coloured socks. He's effervescent. He's out there. He plays on the edge. Boy, oh boy, did he earn his spot in the final. I mean, he was covered in clay just about every match he played. He dived around for everything, the Energizer Bunny. Great second set against Tsitsipas today, but he's weak. Of course, coming through, Marcus Giron, Djokovic in a great match, particularly resetting after Djokovic took that second set. Goffin, the inform Fritz, Dimitrov in a semi-final. So he earned his place, but Stefanos and the clay are a nice matchup.
Absolutely. Look, I remember watching Davidovic Fokina. I think he played John Millman at the Tokyo Olympics.
Yep.
And, sapping conditions. And it was a grueling match. And John, I thought, was playing really well at that time. And the Spaniard was able to outlast him and showed tremendous hustle that day. To see him diving, as you said, he certainly handy for the laundromats this week. I'm sure the laundry bill will be fairly exceptional. Although the check for making... the biggest run of his career at Masters level will be sizable.
Yep.
But you're right about Tsitsipas. I mean, he showed last year through the clay court period. He won Monte Carlo last year. I think he then made the final in Barcelona and really pushed Rafa. I think he won an ATP 250 in Lyon, in the lead up to the French, and then goes at Roland Garros, I think led two sets to love against Novak in that final.
Mm.
Clearly, I think we can rightly say that clay is his best surface. I think he's clearly someone that's a title threat in Paris again in a couple of, in 6 or so weeks. To beat, the players he beat, Fognini, sends Fognini out of the top 60. Jair Schwartzman, that, great three-set match in the quarterfinal. And then Zverev sort of rolled through him in the semifinal and rolled through Davidovic Fokina in the final. It was a really impressive performance by him. I'll be fascinated to see what happens because I do think he's clearly a leading contender for Paris.
No doubt. And once again, he's off to Barcelona for this week coming, and Davidovic Fokina inside the top 30 to 27 in the world and coming. So I like the cut of his jib, this young man.
I suspect there'll be a few seeds in Paris that will be very happy he's not floating around outside the seeded players, because clearly if you're getting him in the first or second round, you're in for one hell of a match. But what I loved about Monte Carlo was just some of those epic three-set matches. I think the quarterfinals where you had Davidovic Fokina beating Fritz, Dimitrov beating Hurkacz, Tsitsipas knocking off Schwartzman, and Zverev and Sinner having that thriller. I think there was something like 27 three-set matches for the week. Astonishing tennis. And that quarterfinal day went forever.
Yeah, look, you're right. And I love the clay court period. I mean, this is where you really earn your stripes, isn't it? And you've got to play a lot of balls. You've got to be patient. You've got to and we always talk about, you know, Walshy Air, Australian players having not, you know, grown up and played a lot of clay court tennis, and they've got to go overseas to get, you know, that grounding. But for a lot of others, that's been the surface they've grown up on. They relish this time of year.
Oh,
the Europeans, yeah, and South Americans.
For them, it's all about Roland Garros. Like, yep. I'm absolutely certain there are a lot of players, through Europe, etc., that prize Roland Garros more than Wimbledon. For Australians, it's clearly Wimbledon. For a lot of other players, it's Wimbledon as well. But there are those who would have Roland Garros and the clay championship firmly at the top of their wish list.
Absolutely. So Tsitsipas 6-3, 7-6. Dimonov went out round two, took a set off Andre Rublev. Stan Wawrinka was encouraged by his performance. So first tournament back in a long time. Lost to Bublik, went down in three. But we might have a quick listen to Novak, who went out to Davidovich for Keena in that second round. He was outplayed in the first and the third sets, but he just hung in there. And here was his reaction, his first match back in quite some time.
Did you expect such a difficult match on your return? That was a hell of a game out there. A very, very tough one.
Well, I would like to congratulate Alejandro. He was a better player. He managed to find a better rhythm, I think, in the first two sets. I was hanging on the ropes, so, you know, in the entire match. I was really chasing the result constantly, so can't speak too much about my chances. Had some games where I was break points, game points, and I just lost many of those games in the first set. Also second. We could have won this match in straight sets, and I just kind of fought my way through to the third, but then I was just physically completely collapsed. You know, I couldn't move anymore. I'm not gonna stop here. I'm gonna keep going and hopefully build my form for Roland Garros. You know, that's the big goal of the clay season. Look, I knew, you know, a few days ago when I spoke to you, I knew that it's gonna take some time for me to really feel my best on the clay. I mean, that's historically always been the case. Never played very well in the opening tournaments of the clay season, but it's okay. You know, obviously it is what it is. I have to accept the defeat and keep working.
Keep working indeed. So off to Belgrade at home this week as the top seed. We'll keep moving along. We're going to get to Iga Swiatek and the Fed Cup very, very soon. Lots of other talking points on the show. Of course, plenty of content to take a look at in your own time here at the First Serve. Apart from our Monday night show, we've got Crunching the Numbers, Aussies Only, Play USA, our specified podcast offerings each month with more to come. So you can subscribe to the First Serve via your preferred podcast platform or head to the podcast section at thefirstserve.com.au. That's all thanks to our good friends at Hume Tennis and Community Centre. It's a mini Melbourne park out in Melbourne's north. Tim Connell and his team do a beautiful job. It's got tennis for everyone, perfect also for coaches and players. So if you're coming from interstate to train and compete, very close to Melbourne Airport, there's accommodation just around the corner. You can train, play, eat, sleep. It's all there, one-stop shop. Find out more, humetennis.com.au. We'll slip in a break, plenty on the text as well. We'll get to all that next here on The First Serve.
Better solar, better batteries, better energy. With V-Solar, you'll never have to pay another expensive electricity bill. Talk with a V-Solar advisor. Visit v.solar to learn more. GLG Greenlight Group, leaders in property services and open space management at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Poland through to the finals for the first time. And it comes after Iga Swiatek defeats Andrea Prisakariu. 6-love, 6-love, and she has now won 19 consecutive matches. The world number one, Swiatek, she is just on fire.
She is on fire indeed. Well, she mentioned it earlier, the magical number of 19, the Billie Jean King Cup. So we had the qualifiers over the weekend. Australia got the reprieve, as everyone knows, courtesy of Russia being disqualified, and through to the finals in November. But it went like this: Italy 3-1 over France. Camilla Giorgi, you know she's my favourite. Not probably for the reasons you think, but sometimes she's not my favourite, depending when what day you're interviewing her. But, I saw a smile on her face, Walshy, which was extraordinary because she won the decisive match. France actually subbed out Elise Cornet. What a move from Julien Benneteau, the captain. That was it. So she beats Harmony Tan 6-2, 6-love. How about subbing out Elise Cornet, one of the great fighters?
Yeah, there was a few interesting decisions made in terms of selection for the reverse singles over the weekend.
Yeah.
There was a curious one with, I think, in the Czech Republic as well, with, yep. They opted for Fruitivova. Yeah, yep. I pronounced it poorly.
Yeah, no, you're right. The young, so we mentioned the two, well, there's the two sisters, aren't they? The older one.
Yeah.
Is it Linda, the older one?
Yep. Brought her in for the reverse, and she was beaten by Harriet Dart, which kept that tie alive. I mean, the checks went through, but it was, but you're right, with Cornet, unbelievably proud and passionate player, and you know that she would have given her all and scrapped right to the bitter end. Yep. So that's a surprising one for mine as well.
Open the door up for Camilla Giorgi to go whack in the decisive match there. USA 3-2 over Ukraine. So it came down to the dubs here. Asia Muhammad, Jessica Pegula got it done. You mentioned the Czech Republic. That came down to the doubles. Mukova and Von Drusova got it done. 3-2 over GB. Kazakhstan 3-1 over Germany. Rybakina, two wins. She's bound for the top 10 at some stage. Tall, strapping, big ball striker. She's just taking nice strides in her tennis career.
Yeah, and knock off Ange Kerber, who we know is sort of in the, you know, not the dominant player she was as the world number one going back to 2017 or so, but certainly still a classy player. And I think that's a big one for Kazakhstan because it's the first time they've qualified for the Billie Jean King Cup finals, or the Fed Cup as it was formerly known. So
And they played that at home, I think.
The first time they might have played at home in a
major tie. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but yeah, that's a really significant win. Canada 4 zip over Latvia. So Leila Fernandez, the key there with a couple of wins. Sara Cerebes-Tormo with that beautiful service action. Spain 4 zip over the Netherlands. We've mentioned Świątek. She's just flying individually and leading her country. Dropped one game in four sets. Quite extraordinary. 4-0 Poland over Romania and Belgium, of course, the walkover over Belarus, who are also disqualified from taking any further part in the Fed Cup. So I think it might be the end of this month or it's the next few weeks where the draw will be decided. We'll see who Australia's pitted against and we're going to wait for a little while.
They were really good last year in Prague, making the semi-finals, which was an exceptional performance for a young team. Clearly, we would have loved to have had Ash Barty there and she would have played on the weekend. Had Russia and Belarus not been, I suppose, banned from the competition, she would have been on the court in Brisbane, which would have been
a finale, a
highlight, but not to be. I'll be fascinated to see what unfolds in the Australian team. You think that, you know, Alia and Daria and Storm Sanders are certainly probably guarantees for that team. You know, touch wood as long as they're fit. But then we see what happens with the younger players coming through.
No doubt.
Madison Inglis, Priscilla Hunn.
Yep.
There's a chance for someone to really make a stand.
There's a spot indeed. Just want to go back to Monte Carlo for 1 second because I hate forgetting about the doubles. Joe Salisbury a week ago, the new world number one, Rajiv Ram. So the top two, their second Masters 1000 title together. They won in Canada last year. So fourth year together. They're actually great to watch as a pair. They've got great synergy, these two. They won the doubles in Monte Carlo, so we should always give the doubles a shout out there.
Absolutely. I think Purcell and Matt Ebden had a good win over them at the Australian Open earlier this year.
They did.
In a semi-final. John Peers partnered Karatsev, which I thought was an interesting combination. I think they won a round and got rolled in the second round in Monte Carlo.
Venus and Putz.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Very, very, very good combination, the New Zealander and the German.
Indeed. 1-300-736-736. Happy to take your calls right throughout the hour. I'll get to a few of your texts in just a moment. Quick wrap of the challenges. Sarah Soda, we had some Australians there, but it was Daniel Elahi Galan, of course, who got through to win that title. 25-year-old Colombian, so he's up to 113 in the world. Fourth challenger title. Luke Seville and JP Smith, though, they're playing their sort of string of challenges at the moment. They were the top seeds. Got knocked out in the semi-final there. Nuno Borges, the number two seed from Portugal. So he's up 18 spots to 131. He's building a nice challenger profile now. He dominated, won about 10 ITF titles coming through the ranks. So everyone goes on this different journey. And as we know, you get to about 130. You can somehow just stay there or drop. So it's a tough area to try and get out of.
Absolutely. And I mean, it makes a massive difference in terms of your planning for the following year. If you can know that you're in qualifying, but then if you can somehow bump that up to top 100 and know you've got, you know, basically entry into the four Grand Slams, it's a significant lift for you. So trying to make ground, we've had a few women who have been sort of caught in that range. We've had, you know, Chris O'Connell's been in that range where just trying to take that next step into the top 100.
Yeah, nice little segue because he made the quarters in Madrid. That was a challenger last week for Chris. It was Pedro Cachin, the Argentinian, who won that tournament, his third challenger title, so he's up 38 spots back inside the top 200. And I always love a guy who comes from qualifying And this happens. This happens a lot in tennis. Antoine Belair, the qualifier, who I've just got to double check because I'm not quite across his work. He's actually jumped up 178 spots to 310. So you have one big win of significance and you're going somewhere. And it can happen, can't it? Switzerland. So no surprise, Switzerland are going to probably produce, not Roger Federer all over, but they've got some players with some promises. Young Stricker, who's around the mark. So they've got a few there in the pipeline. Whether any of them progress, we'll have to wait and see.
No, but you would have anticipated that with Federer and Wawrinka having such long and brilliant careers, that you would hope that they would inspire the next generation or two to try and match the deeds of the two icons.
Indeed. A few on the text. If I live to be 1,000, you won't see an Aussie male win the French Open. That's Pierre from Paris, who's texted apparently.
Well, you know, I'd love to say that you'll live to 1,000, and I'd also love to hope that there'll be an Australian that comes along that proves him wrong.
I think Pierre sent another text in. This might be a new texter into the first serve. G'day, Brett. Great stat repack cash, never beating Boris Becker. Yes, Harry was all over at the start. Brett, in sad news, now we're double-checking this, but Craig in Hampton is telling us, that Kevin Anderson, the great South African, two-time Grand Slam finalist, has decided to retire from the tour late last week after a good career. His body just could not go any longer. Now, we've been digging, and there's actually nothing publicised about it at all.
Yeah, look, certainly nothing on social media channels or on news sources. So, I mean, look, that would be quite the scoop there. He was last on court a month or so, actually in Miami earlier this month. I think he beat Alex Bolley in qualies and then lost to Mitchell Kruger, the American, in the second round. And I think you said you saw him play in
Indian Wells qualies. Yeah, lost there.
So, look, he's had a great career. He certainly had some injury worries. I know last year, I think perhaps in Newport, Rhode Island, he sort of said he conceded the end was clearly closer than the start of his career, because well into his mid-30s. I think he's, 35 at the moment. Yeah. So, not necessarily a surprise. But a great career to come from South Africa to then go to college and to then parlay that into a, to become a top 10 player and making finals at the US Open and at Wimbledon. Mm. Outstanding, really.
Yeah, it's a great story indeed. So, Craig, despite there being nothing officially on news sources, so we'll take your word for that, but we'll continue to check. I love this one from Percy. I'm nearly 90 years of age. God bless you, Percy. I'm not sure if you're a mate of Harry's, but it's great to have you listening to our show. Any chance of the Frenchies using a dark-coloured tennis ball so I can pick it up in a rally? From Percy.
It can be hard to see. It's a very good point, Percy. And I'm sure you've watched a hell of a lot of tennis in your time. It can be hard to pick up at times on the clay court, which is, the orange, the yellow ball, or the green ball. It's surprising given the contrast with the red. But no, I can understand what you're saying there.
And BP, it's Damien from Abu Dhabi. Now, Damien, during the Ash Barty final, was regularly, in fact, throughout the Australian Open, was regularly texting us. It was fantastic. If you remember, we went through Ash Barty's Australian Open win and semi together. We did. We rode the roller coaster. Damien, you were driving in Abu Dhabi. You nearly drove off the road. Thank goodness you didn't. I hope you're both right about Iga Swiatek. We have loaded up on her to win the French. Love your work, boys, in the show. Well, she's the real deal. So she's going to be staying around the pointy end for some time.
Yeah, and look, we know that obviously a lot needs to go right in those 2 weeks. But when you're in the form she's in, and she's a former winner at Roland Garros, so that's where the big breakthrough came.
Yep.
Clearly she's the leading contender. I would obviously love to have seen Asha over there again, because I think last year that was one that got away from her when she was injured.
Yep.
Because my word, she was a fabulous clay court player as well as a former champion there in 2019.
No doubt. Well, she's here tonight thanks to Melbourne's leading synthetic grass court surface and construction specialist, ASTI Tennis Courts. They're trusted by Melbourne tennis clubs and councils, so check them out, aste.com.au. A break, plenty more to come. Paddle tennis. Well, she's been in Las Vegas. I want to pick that apart next, amongst a few other things.
Better solar, better batteries, better energy. With B-Solar, you'll never have to pay another expensive electricity bill. Talk with a B-Solar advisor. Visit b.solar to learn more. GLG Greenlight Group, leaders in property services and open space management at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Certainly is your home of tennis every Monday night across the SEN network. And go shopping tonight as well, tennisdirect.com.au. All your goodies will be delivered to your front door, wherever you are around Australia. Use that code FIRSTSERVE10. So rackets, accessories, everything you need from our great friends at Tennis Direct. Brent Phillips and Courtney Walsh tonight, just a couple on the text. Do tennis players get paid enough? Sinner looks like he needs a good feed. From a good mate, Mario, over there in Maslin Beach. He's always good with a text, Mario, over in Adelaide.
I'm sure there's plenty of opportunities for some of the finest pasta in the world for
the Italianos.
And if you've seen some of those tournament restaurants, they can be outstanding. I remember in Shanghai a few years back, and the quality of the food in that player restaurant, my word.
Monte Carlo wouldn't be stingy.
No, I wouldn't have thought so, and you're probably looking pretty good in Indian Wells and those places as well, the Australian Open as well. So
no doubt.
I'm sure he's going okay, Mr. Sinner.
Guys, love the show. I usually podcast it. As I used to live in Europe, clay court season is the best time to follow tennis. All the events before the French are the highest quality all year. I love Jenny Drummond, as we all do. Great part of our commentary team over the summer. Thank you, Alex. You're right. When you think about Monte Carlo, Barcelona, Madrid, to the beautiful Italian Open, the setting there in Rome, to Roland Garros. I mean, it is a great time of the year. It's where you earn your wins.
Oh, absolutely. And look, the other thing is, like, even some of the 250s, like, I think, or the 500s. Stuttgart this week, yes. I think Ash Barty was the winner there last year. But, you know, the field she beat there was outstanding. You know, I think you have a couple of beautiful ones sort of in Lyon, for example. You know, in the lead-in, I think Sam Stosur had some success sort of in Paris leading into...
Strasbourg?
In Strasbourg, I think, leading into a great run to the French Open final one year. You know, it's a superb time of the year, no doubt at all.
Just setting the scene for this week, you mentioned Barcelona. So Jordan Thompson running around this week to take on Marton Fucsovics. Demonor will have the bye in the first round, so he'll be there. Alexei Poprin, tough year, isn't it? He's 4-12 now. So third seed in qualifying at 98 in the world, lost to the man ranked at 201. Just not quite sure where he's at. And that partnership with Craig O'Shaughnessy will be fascinating to see how long that lasts.
Yeah, look, it'll be interesting. It's, you know, hopefully there is some wins coming soon. You know, you think with his, the tools at his disposal, you would hope that, you know, he starts to make. But we know, but younger professionals, they do have times where things go wrong. Like where there are periods where they're, you know, whether it's injury or if there's some motivation issues, et cetera. And I'm not suggesting that's the case in this regard, but clearly he's not firing on all cylinders. I noticed at challenger level, you've got a couple of, you know, Kubler had an okay win and then was beaten by the champion last week. Good to see him back in on the green clay. But Bernie Tomic and Rinky Hijikata are playing in Mexico this week.
They're back.
Long way back from Bernie. But
John Millman's got Dominic Thiem.
Yeah.
It's great to see Thiem back. We saw him come back and play a challenge. I think it's COVID.
Yes.
So he comes back to play the Serbia Open up against John. So there's a workout for your first real big match back.
I would have thought so. It'd be good to see. You know, John was beaten in qualies last week by Taro, I think it was, yes, in Monte Carlo. It'd be good to see him get a couple of wins on the board on the clay before, you know, he heads towards the French Open as well.
Purcell and Ebden to play dubs. They're going beautifully at the moment. Bianca Andreescu back 6 months out of the game. She spent so much time off court while she, I mean, her ranking's outside the top 100. Another big injury break. Boy, oh boy, we'd love her to see her just play some tennis. The 2019 US Open champion.
And she was, you know, when she hit the scene, it was, you know, she was clearly an exceptional player. And and that great win over Serena, I think, in the final. And she'd won at Indian Wells, I think, before that. But barely played since. It's, you know, and she's got great variety, good power.
Yeah.
I think she's teamed up with, is it Sven?
In terms
of a coaching, I believe that's the case. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of... because he's clearly...
He follows us on the first serve.
Clearly an outstanding coach. So let's see what he can do with Bianca, because she's a talent to be reckoned with. And if there are people to challenge Iga, she would be one of them if she can get herself fit.
No doubt. Storm Sanders qualifying for this event, the Porsche Grand Prix in Stuttgart, which Barty won last year. So she'll play Raducanu, which is a tough one. But hopefully Stormy can put together some good singles form now after some good doubles performances at the start of the year.
And I think she'd fancy her chances in that. We know that Emma had her first ever professional match really on clay on the weekend in terms of in the Fed Cup, had a win in the first one and then was soundly beaten by Vondrousova, who is no surprise given she's a French Open finalist going back 2 or 3 years ago. But, you know, first WTA match on clay this weekend for the reigning US Open champion. It will be interesting to see if Storm can trouble her. I think she's got the game to certainly test her.
It'd be nice to see her get closer and get inside that top 100. Ola Tomjanovic will play in Istanbul. Got Alison van Uytvanck from Belgium coming up this week. Jamie Fulis, a chance maybe. She's got Cirinco, former world number 23, but she's a long way from that. If Jamie could win that qualies match and get into a WTA 250, that'd be a good bonus. So good ball striker, and we'd love to see her take the next step as well.
Absolutely. It's, you know, so long ago since she had that win on debut at the Australian Open. I'd love to see her make it to the WTA. And she's shown at different times that she's capable of competing with the best women in the world. So let's hope she can have that follow up, that nice opening round qualifying win with another one tonight.
No doubt. You mentioned Bernie and Rinki Hijikata, who I'm a massive fan of. They're in Mexico. O'Connell's in Croatia this week. Kubler's in Tallahassee in Florida. Luke Saville and JP Smith, the top seeds again in the doubles. We've got a lot of young Aussies playing some ITFs around the globe this week, which we'll keep an eye on at thefirstserve.com.au and all our social channels as well. I do need to mention the 5pm Collective, Australian alcohol delivered. Use the code FIRSTSERVE to get 10% off your first order at 5pmcollective.com. That is all one word, so nice little discount there and you'll be well looked after. Let's squeeze into break, 'cause I want to allow some time at the back end to talk about paddle tennis, Boris Becker, and the article around Ash Barty, and I suppose the implications going forward for Tennis Australia in a new rights deal and their major draw card now taken away from the biggest showpiece tennis event we have in this country. That's next on The First Serve.
Better solar, better batteries, better energy. With B-Solar, you'll never have to pay another expensive electricity bill. Talk with a B-Solar advisor. Visit b.solar to learn more. GLG Greenlight Group, leaders in property services and open space management. At glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Welcome back to The First Serve on the text, Aaron at Airport West. Brett, great weekend of grass court tennis at St Arnett over the weekend. As a spectator only, unfortunately, some great tennis courts, well looked after, may even make a comeback next year. How good is Easter tennis on the grass? Good on you, Aaron, who does a great job working in the game and always a regular follower of us. We'll be on next Tuesday, reminder to the 26th after Anzac Day, 8 o'clock next Tuesday, the 26th of April. We will go back and revisit with Tennis Australia the whole UTR situation. I noticed that Tennis New South Wales put out a statement on competitive playing opportunities. So we're going to go back and circle back because we've spoken to parents and players and coaches and a lot of people across metro and regional parts of Australia. So obviously New South Wales is being fairly active in speaking to TA about the real concerns, particularly regionally, of the drop in entries and how UTR is affecting that. So we will do that and give it its just time next week. But Walshy, you wrote an article about 2 weeks ago on our website, Paddle Storming Onto the Horizon. You not only wrote about it, you played over in the US. We've only got a few minutes, but just give us your experience of it. Obviously, TA are heavily looking into paddle tennis. It's something that is now really global. And there would be some of the doomsdays here who would say, do we need to be focusing on this? Do we focus, you know, just on getting professional tennis right? But your experience of playing?
It was, quite the honour and a little bit of a surprise. But, the call up to play in the World Championships, the Senior World Championships, which were held in Las Vegas, about 20 minutes off the strip at an eight-court club, specialist padel club in Las Vegas. Sort of run by the, you know, I suppose the International Paddle Federation, but also the US Federation there. And to see, you know, players from all around the world, the spirit was absolutely sensational. Mm. Some of the talent on offer was extraordinary. The Spaniards, who were, you know, some of whom have just off the professional circuit sort of through Europe, were, extraordinary quality, and the caliber that they played with was just exceptional. They won both the men's and the women's. Argentinians were exceptionally good. They certainly towed us up, early on in the week. But look, the crew that went away with, the Australians, a group from Perth, a group from Queensland, some from Sydney, a couple from Melbourne. And we also had a couple come across from Spain and from the UK. So tremendous players, tremendous investment. And look, it was interesting, as you said, I certainly penned an article, had a good chat to Callum Beale from Tennis Australia, who, you know, tremendous fella, and looking at, I suppose, complementary racket sports to tennis. And this is, I think it's an interesting sort of debate, I think, that was that arose from that story that I wrote about Tennis Australia's investment into it and the reasons why they're partnering with Padel and what they see, you know, the importance of collaboration as opposed to being competitive, because we've seen overseas, you know, in Spain, it's the second biggest sport in Spain behind soccer. It's certainly, in terms of numbers of paddle rackets sold, you know, I think more than double the amount of tennis rackets. So that's a problem, for tennis in Spain, with a nation that's had Rafael Nadal, such an unbelievable player. In Sweden, I think there's five times as many paddle courts as tennis courts now. And you know, people like Bjorkman and Tommy Johansson, who a former Aussie Open champion, are heavily invested. You see Andy Murray with a big investment in the UK, and some of the world's biggest soccer stars sort of, you know, also involved financially. I think there's a promise to sort of build something like 500 courts through the UK. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. Melbourne's just had a centre open up down underneath the Baldy Bridge. Three courts, really good. The KDV Centre, which I've played at in the Gold Coast, is outstanding. You know, four courts there. I think there's six in Sydney. In Perth, there's a couple of different options, which is great to see.
So can you see it sort of being alongside the you know, traditional, you know, clubs operating as tennis clubs, traditional forms of tennis? Can it sort of complement and find a place there? I mean, there'd be people say, why is Tennis Australia? Why are we focusing on stuff like that? Just get our performance pathway right. Let's get players aspiring to play traditional tennis and get more players ranked from Australia.
I don't dispute anything in terms of the, you know, we should be pushing to have the highest caliber of players coming from the country and to have, you know, multiple players in the top 100, the top 50, the top 20. But this, we shouldn't forget that tennis is also a sport for forever. But this, that Tennis Australia, I think, sees it as as an extension. You can play into your 30s, into your 40s, into your 50s. It's not as hard on the body. And they see the more people involved, they see it as complementary as opposed to competitive. So, look, you know, I love my tennis and will continue to play that regularly, but I will also be playing more and more padel. It's a great sport.
We are going to go down as a first serve team and actually try out the Docklands facility in the next few weeks. So we'll come back with our own thoughts on that. Thank you, Walshy. We race through the hour as always. Thanks to Yarra Tennis Coaching, Eaglemont Tennis Club, just off the Eastern. Junior adult programs available. Shane Scrutney's a beauty. 30 years coaching experience. His mission is simply to improve your game, whether you're a complete beginner or a serious player. Check out Shane and his crew at yarratennis.com.au. Thanks for coming in.
Absolute pleasure, and a lovely club to play at there as well.
Indeed. Play paddle tennis the other week. Good fun. Could be a fun novelty. Thank you, Brad. We'll be on next Tuesday, 8 o'clock, the 26th. Have a great week. Hit them beautifully.